someone who has been exposed, who's going to be sick, let's say, for example, in 2 days, can already, while they're healthy, not yet sick, be able to transmit this virus.
The virus that started in Wuhan, China, has now killed 81 people, all of them in China. It's Tuesday, January 28th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also ahead, basketball great Kobe Bryant was a superstar in Asia. We'll talk more about that. The White House side of the impeachment trial defends the U.S. president. The U.S. military communications plane has crashed in Afghanistan, all on VOA Asia. Chinese Premier Li Keqiang visited the city of Wuhan Monday to meet with health officials and examine the response to the outbreak of a coronavirus that has killed 81 people. Wuhan is the center of the outbreak, and people there and in several other cities face strict restrictions on movement as the government tries to prevent the virus from spreading. Officials took an extra step Sunday to extend the Lunar New Year holiday 3 extra days to cut down on group gatherings. The latest figures reported by Chinese health officials include more than 2,700 cases of people being sickened by the virus. And as we told you at last count, 81 have died from the virus in China. U.S. President Donald Trump has offered China any help needed to combat a deadly outbreak of a coronavirus that has killed 81. In a Monday tweet, Trump said, "We are in very close communication with China concerning the virus." He added, "We have offered China and President Xi any help that is necessary. Our experts are extraordinary," he said. The head of the World Health Organization arrived Monday in Beijing, where he's expected to meet with senior Chinese officials to discuss the outbreak. The agency said there is still a chance to get ahead of the virus if there is strong cooperation. Beijing authorities also reported the capital's first death from the virus. Separately, in an effort to stop the virus from spreading, Mongolia closed its vast border with China, while Hong Kong and Malaysia announced they would ban entry to visitors from Wuhan. Global stock markets plunged Monday as investors feared the economic impact from the coronavirus. Chinese officials took an extra step Sunday, as we told you, to extend the Lunar New Year holiday 3 extra days. Cases have also been reported of the virus in Australia, Canada, France, Hong Kong, Japan, Macau, Malaysia, Nepal, Portugal, Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, the U.S., and Vietnam. The World Health Organization says most of those are people who had a travel history in Wuhan, with several others having contact with someone who traveled there. I spoke about the outbreak with Dr. William Schaffner, an infectious disease specialist at the Vanderbilt Medical Center in Nashville, Tennessee.
Patients are coming back from Wuhan, individuals that is, and some of them are getting sick. Now we know that there are 5 such patients in the United States, and actually doctors are on the alert. Indeed, they have sent specimens from over 100 patients to the CDC for testing, and those specimens have come from 26 states. This tells me that the system is working. The clinicians are alert, the patients are cooperative, and the public health people are working locally to investigate the contacts of all of those 5 cases. So far, this is important, there is no spread in the United States. We expect more cases to be identified, and there might well be a little bit of spread, but so far, the system is working very well.
That is for us here. As you know, this broadcast goes into Asia, English speakers in Asia, including in China. What's the situation for them?
Well, in China, things are more tumultuous. They have done a ginormous public health experiment in semi-isolating Wuhan and surrounding cities, and they are trying to limit the spread. This was so important because this, of course, is the Lunar New Year in China, and we wish everybody a happy New Year and a safe and healthy one. And by interdicting traffic and movement, they hoped to limit the spread. We'll have to see how that works. I wish them well.
Now, you had some words of alarm about people who are not showing signs of being sick actually spreading it.
Ah, So our Chinese colleagues are letting us know that it is now their opinion that not only sick people can transmit this infection, but someone who has been exposed, who's going to be sick, let's say, for example, in 2 days, can already, while they're healthy, not yet sick, be able to transmit this virus. We haven't seen the data to support that statement, but were it to be correct, this would be a more difficult virus to contain.
Can you explain why?
Because healthy people move around a lot, encounter many others. No one is aware, they are not aware, that they are, in effect, exhaling the virus. And if you're in close contact with me and I'm healthy, then you can inhale the virus, you're exposed, and you may become sick. I, who am the source, may become sick the next day or 2 days down the road. So you can see it becomes a much more efficient way to transmit the virus. If I become sick, of course, I isolate myself. People recognize that. They can take care and not get exposed. But if I'm healthy, not yet sick, I can expose quite a few people during my daily activities.
So is this going to mean a change in the way people are screened?
It may well be that sort of change. Incidentally, the process that I mentioned is actually the way the influenza virus gets around. It's capable of spreading before you become sick with the flu. Yes, it would require that we alter our containment procedures and would make them more difficult, there's no doubt about it. I would only say that the information we're getting about this virus changes daily. So what I've said today may well have to be modified tomorrow as we get new information. This is typical of all new infectious diseases.
Dr. William Schaffner, an infectious disease specialist at the Vanderbilt Medical Center in Nashville, Tennessee. The Chinese President Xi Jinping said his country is facing a grave situation, and experts and other resources would be concentrated at specific hospitals to treat severe cases of the illness. The World Health Organization recommends several steps to help protect people against acute respiratory infections. They include avoiding close contacts with those already infected, frequent hand washing, and avoiding unprotected contact with farm animals or wild animals. We invite you to read more on our top story by following us on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines. Authorities in Pakistan have arrested the leader of a social movement which is campaigning against human rights abuses allegedly carried out by military forces during counterterrorism operations in areas near the border with Afghanistan. The U.S. dollar index, the Japanese yen, and the Swiss franc strengthened on Monday, while the offshore yuan tumbled and the Australian dollar notched a four-month low as fears about the spread of the coronavirus in China pushed investors into safe haven assets. India said on Monday it plans to sell its entire interest in Air India Limited, making a renewed push to sell the flag carrier after it drew no bids in an effort to auction a majority stake almost 2 years ago. This is VOA Asia. We continue now. People around the world are struggling to find words to describe how they feel about the death of retired U.S. basketball legend Kobe Bryant in a helicopter crash Sunday. He was 41 years old. Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, were among nine killed in the hills outside Los Angeles. They were on their way to a basketball tournament for youngsters. Bryant was known to use a helicopter from his home to games in Los Angeles to avoid the city's notoriously bad traffic. U.S. President Donald Trump tweeted, "Kobe Bryant, despite being one of the truly great basketball players of all time, was just getting started in life. The loss of his beautiful daughter, Gianna, makes this moment even more devastating. Melania and I send our warmest condolences to Vanessa and the wonderful Bryant family. May God be with you all." Former President Barack Obama, a well-known basketball fan, tweeted that Bryant was just getting started in what would have been just as a meaningful second act to follow his basketball career. Stars from other sports, including football's Tom Brady and hockey's Wayne Gretzky, are also expressing shock. Major League Baseball, in a release, said it was devastated. Fans at the NFL's Pro Bowl game chanted Kobe, Kobe, as the news spread throughout the stands. Thousands gathered outside the Staples Center in Los Angeles where Bryant's Lakers play their home game. Most simply felt that they just had to be there. Bryant has gone down in history as one of the greatest professional basketball players ever to step onto the court. He spent his entire pro career with the L.A. Lakers, winning 5 NBA championships and the league's Most Valuable Player award in 2008. He's the 4th all-time leading scorer. LeBron James passed him for number 3 on the list just a day earlier. Bryant tweeted his congratulations to James. Now, the Grammy Awards were presented at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, that same venue that serves as the home court for Bryant's Lakers. Numerous musical stars and celebrities paid their respect to him.
Even as the music world celebrated itself, it mourned the death of former NBA star Kobe Bryant. Many of the musicians at the Grammys last night were shaken. Flavor Flav said there were a few who could compare to Bryant on the basketball court.
He had his own style of the way he played ball and everything. So just like everybody wanted to be like Mike, there was a lot of people that wanted to be like Kobe Bryant too.
Smokey Robinson, a friend of Bryant, says the way he died was especially tragic.
As a dad myself, to find out that his daughter was there with him and there was nothing he could do for her, my God.
And ballerina Misty Copeland, also a friend of the Bryant, said those at the Grammys couldn't help thinking about the sad situation. I'm Oscar Wells Gabriel.
In addition to his superstar status in the United States, Bryant was an international star.
Kobe Bryant was a hugely popular figure in Asia, no more so than in China, where basketball rivals soccer as the most popular sport. Bryant's fan base is rivaled only by Yao Ming, LeBron James and Michael Jordan. His playing appearances, including the 2008 Beijing Summer Olympics won by the US, were however far exceeded by his promotional appearances in the country, both on behalf of his own brand and basketball generally. Elsewhere in Asia, basketball fans in the Philippines offered flowers, wrote notes and lit candles outside a newly built House of Kobe basketball court in Manila. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Happening now in Asia, Britain faces a crucial choice Tuesday over whether to allow China's Huawei Technologies to build its next-generation wireless networks. That decision has implications for the country's diplomatic relations with the United States, which is pushing allies to shun the Chinese company over cybersecurity concerns. Stay up to date with VOA. This is VOA Asia. We are happy you're with us. U.S. President Donald Trump's lawyers resumed their impeachment defense Monday as majority Republicans in the Senate weighed how to respond to a former Trump National Security Advisor's allegation that the U.S. leader told him he wanted to withhold military aid to Ukraine until it launched an investigation of a key Democratic rival. Senator Lindsey Graham, a staunch Trump defender, told reporters he would support a subpoena of national security aide John Bolton's upcoming book, The Room Where It Happened, to evaluate the manuscript and see if it is a reason to add to the record. Joining us from Capitol Hill is VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson. Catherine, how has that played in, if at all, to the defense of the president today?
Well, as we know, the president's defense has its second day of opening arguments today, and they really only indirectly addressed it at the beginning of the day. One of the lawyers mentioned that they do not really get into the issue of evidence that's not in the impeachment record yet. And as we know, they would have to have that vote to enter in Bolton as a witness or to enter in his book as evidence. So really, they just skipped over it and then moved on to their already prepared defense.
And what is that?
So it's been a mix of everything today. It's been really interesting to see how each lawyer has been taking a different element of the case. Pam Bondi is on right now addressing the issue of Joe Biden and his son Hunter's involvement with the Ukrainian gas company Burisma. We've also heard a defense of Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani. And then earlier, we had a little bit of a callback from the past, from the Clinton impeachment. Ken Starr, who, of course, was involved in that impeachment, he took to the Senate floor to talk about why impeachment is something that should be used only rarely because it's such a serious remedy for presidential misbehavior.
Well, where does it go from here? Talking about Joe Biden and his son Hunter really isn't part of the impeachment charges, is it?
Well, it's not part of the impeachment charges. The Republicans would certainly like to make that so. They say that that's an integral part of why President Trump was concerned about corruption in Ukraine, why he wanted that aid money withheld until he could be assured that all of these corruption concerns in Ukraine were addressed. Of course, that's the Republican view. Democrats would say that it's all an attempt to haul Joe Biden in off the campaign trail, to get him to testify and to make him look bad, because, of course, as we know, he's one of the leaders in the 2020 Democratic presidential field against President Trump.
What is the possibility of some Republicans basically switching sides and saying we are for adding witnesses to the proceeding?
Well, I think if you had asked me that question 24 hours ago, 36 hours ago, I would have said not very good. But then with this Bolton news, everything has really changed up here. They really have come around to the idea that we need to hear from Bolton. There's no avoiding this. And that really opens the floodgates for other witnesses, other evidence. But also remember that when that opens the floodgates for Democrats' witnesses, Republicans are going to argue that then they get a one-time deal where they get to bring the Bidens in as well.
Catherine Gibson, VOA congressional correspondent, joining us live from Capitol Hill. Thanks, Catherine.
You're welcome.
You're listening to VOA Asia.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia, a magnitude 6.3 earthquake struck off the South Pacific island nation of the Solomon Islands Monday, so says the U.S. Geological Survey. The quake struck 105 kilometers northwest of the town of Kirakira, which is located on the east coast of the island of Makira. No immediate reports of any damage or injuries. VOA Asia continues. A United States military plane used to help troops communicate and share intelligence on the battlefield has crashed in the Taliban-controlled region of Afghanistan. U.S. military officials have now confirmed that. U.S. Air Force Chief of Staff General David Goldfein said the plane was an E-11A equipped with the Battlefield Airborne Communications Node. Goldfein, speaking at an event in Washington, said he was unable to provide additional details. A spokesman for the U.S. military in Afghanistan later tweeted that there were no indications the plane went down because of enemy fire. U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper said he's also monitoring developments. First word of the crash came on social media in Afghanistan with reports from local people in Ghazni province. Hours later, the Taliban said in a statement that the plane went down at noon local time and that there were no survivors. The Taliban are known to inflate casualty numbers, and Mujahid offered no evidence for his claims. A local provincial official told VOA's TV Ashna other forces have also reached the crash site. Afghan security forces also arrived and controlled the site after about 4 hours of the incident, he added. In South Asian countries like Afghanistan and Pakistan, diseases like polio are making a comeback. Because people here are taught that any sort of vaccinations are against their religious beliefs. But in central Afghanistan's Ghazni province, a program called Public Awareness on Benefits of Vaccination is helping fight this dangerous misinformation. VOA's Asif Husseini had more in this report narrated by Bezan Hamdard.
Here in Ghazni, Afghanistan, About 2,000 women and children are lining up to get vaccinations against a number of controllable diseases every week.
The women themselves are insisting on getting the pneumonia vaccine for their children to prevent them from pneumonia in winter. They are also interested in getting penta vaccines that free children from five diseases.
The main reason why? A public awareness program hosted by the local hospital, which has convinced people that vaccinations aren't dangerous or contrary to their political beliefs.
I got the news that the hospital has vaccines. I came here to get vaccinated. This is the second time I am getting a vaccine. It is good and it is free.
Previously, residents were relying heavily on herbal medications. But more and more people are putting their faith in modern medicine and vaccines. Given the number of stray animals in the region, tetanus and rabies shots are commonly requested by patients. They're getting so many requests, the hospital can't keep up with the demand.
People are often referred to India and Pakistan because in Afghanistan, and in particular in Ghazni, there aren't any allergy vaccines. I was lucky enough to get something in Kabul for myself.
Hospital administrations say they're trying to provide necessary vaccines so that they help as many patients as possible.
There are many demands for hepatitis B and C vaccines, but unfortunately, we do not have them. We are trying to provide them for people, and we hope to solve the problem in the future.
Physicians in Ghazni Hospital say vaccines have prevented outbreaks of many diseases and have saved lives. But despite the good news, there's plenty of work still to be done. The number of cases of polio, for instance, actually increased last year in Afghanistan. For Asif Hosseini in Ghazni, Afghanistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
This news break from VOA Asia. While a North Korean deadline for the United States to soften its stand on denuclearization talks passed uneventfully over the new year, state media and propaganda efforts have been focusing on the prospect of a long confrontation between North Korea and the United States. Visit VOA Asia on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. This is VOA Asia. In Myanmar, an escalation in conflict between ethnic armed groups and government forces over the past year has resulted in an increase in civilian casualties amid mounting allegations of war crimes. Steve Sanford reports from Chiang Mai, Thailand.
Shan villagers long for peace here in the mountainside hamlet of Painlon amid fighting between government forces and the Ta'ang National Liberation Army, an ethnic armed group based in the region. What is especially distressing is the increased use of air attacks by Myanmar's army to make up for limited land access to the mountainous region, increasing the risk to civilians being caught in the crossfire.
The sound of the helicopters was very terrifying, and the loud explosions falling around the village were terrible. It doesn't matter if they were falling in the town or just in the area. The sound of the explosions were very frightening for the kids.
About 8,000 civilians were displaced by fighting in Shan State in 2019, with thousands more uprooted by skirmishes in Kachin, Karen, and Rakhine states. Observers like Shan rights activist Cham Tong worry that international businesses will continue to ignore much of the allegations of war crimes by Myanmar's army, emboldening them to continue such acts.
There's no international pressure, and that they can commit such crimes and also such attacks with no accountability.
The constant threat of sudden attacks has increased stress for many of the displaced children in the ethnic regions. For parents like Mary Rana, protecting their children from the bombardment of bad news is an overwhelming task. Rana says her 10-year-old son Nadin has become less talkative in recent months, expressing his fears through artwork.
I told my son not to worry because things will get better. You don't need to be scared. I try to make him feel better and safer. I told him the fighting and conflict will get better. I try to cheer him up.
As the fighting continues in the resource-rich regions of Myanmar, rights groups and refugees are hoping that the increased international scrutiny on the military will bring with it accountability and security for civilians. Steve Sanford for VOA News, Chiang Mai, Thailand.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud. Download our podcast and take VOA Asia with you. Visit our VOAnews.com program page. See us on YouTube. Follow us on VOA Asia Twitter. Our thanks for joining us, and thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Kelvin Fowler, our managing editor, Diane Gao. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have a good day ahead.